expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
We're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
We're lagging in here.
I'm telling you, it's one of them kind of mornings.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind.
Woo-hoo.
Sorry.
Boom shakalaka boom.
There you go. No, I was trying to get in the chat room. It's giving me grief again. So I'm not sure what to do. We'll probably
get Did you go to the bottom and click here to log in?
Yeah, I did. Everybody needs to try that. I'll get going.
Yeah,
Let's get going, everybody.
Working.
Yeah, just for some reason it's giving me a fit. And then we have the other chat room up, I'm assuming, as well.
We will be shortly. He's working at it on
Fireside
News.
Fireside News on Rumble. You can go Fireside News, and we should be in there. We'll get all these technological difficulties.
Yeah, we got KCNR production. KCNR 1460.com chat. It is up and going.
Yeah, I'm in there. Surprising.
I just tried to get in there. I'll try again. I don't know
what. Oh, no. Last week I had so much tech problems with my computer in here. It was unreal. So.
Yeah, that's the Chinese. Anyway.
Somebody posted an interesting video in there, it looks like.
Yeah, they posted something about who is Stephanie Bridget.
I'll try one more time here. Let's see if this works.
So anyway,
what do you mean by sovereign minds? May I ask?
Oh, I guess. I
what do you mean?
Finally. Sovereign. You know what a sovereign is?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah. Tell the people.
Oh, okay. Well, sovereign minds is pretty self-explanatory. We are the kings of our country. We don't have a sovereign because that's why we got rid of the King of England. Now we have we the people who are sovereign citizens who are the highest powers in the land according to the way the Constitution was formed.
Come on, this is good.
And the minds means that you have to use your brain.
You got brain cells that you are using
so
correctly.
So you are what you think about the most. If you think like a slave, act like a slave, act like a peon, get dependent on the government, use it as an excuse to not have any self-reliance or self-determination, then you are not sovereign anymore. You are a subject. So you have to realize that in order to be a sovereign, you have to think like a sovereign. And in order to think like a sovereign, you have to educate yourself enough to understand what a sovereign is.
And the short answer to that was, we inherited the name.
No.
Awesome.
Originally.
It's really interesting, that name, because we did inherit it, you're correct.
Yeah.
But
I just had to throw that out there.
But it really feathered in well because
it did.
I started out doing taxes down in the Bay Area for a company called United Sovereigns. And that was like early 80s, mid 80s. And so when I heard the name Sovereign Minds, it was a pretty much a natural progression into from United Sovereigns into Sovereign Minds. So we kept the name. And
and the guy that started it, one of them, it was pretty interesting.
Well, there's two of them.
Yeah, there was Nate and
John Knight.
John Knight, back in the day.
Yeah.
That was a lot of years ago, guys.
I came on as a guest, and I ended up as the host. So, and then you came on board, and
yeah,
then,
so that was
I came
it.
On
and
as
then,
a guest.
Yeah, you came on a guest. How long you been on?
And the rest is history.
Shoot, I gotta say, probably 5-6 years.
I bet it's longer than that.
It's been that long. I swear, it's. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So
anyway, this is Sovereign Mind. Today is November 17th, 2024. If you can believe it. Yeah, I know. We're almost to the end of the year. What a crazy world we're living in right now. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And the guy that rocks around the clock faster than a spinning internet connection, more powerful than a high speed download, 10th degree black belt RAM. Sovereign Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
What happened to you?
Try to say that 5 times fast. Okay. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. We can talk about our sponsors. We've got Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents, 810. Main Street, Red Bluff, California, 530. Never mind. 530-527-5534. She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. Luke Pearson Construction, Homes and Excavating. Licensed and bonded, 530-605-9575. And then Crack Masters.
Down there on Market Street, South Market Street, 3208 South Market Street.
Well, we've been neglecting him a little bit lately.
So yeah, and his number is 530-241-8373.
So we have to give him a little bit of love.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Is it true? I saw that the farmer's market is going year-round now. Does anybody know?
I don't know.
I'm not sure on that. That'd be awesome, though.
Yeah, that's what I saw somewhere.
There's a video in the chat room. Who's Stephanie Bridget? And there's also... another video that if you haven't watched that one from Shasta Anon, it's on go to YouTube and go to Shasta Anon, and the latest video has been pretty much awesome. It was really super funny about what? With the Pinko guy. Yeah, just crazy. I'm pulling it up right now so I get the exact.
I think I saw that one.
It's super funny. And
awesome. We should be live now on Fireside News on Rumble. I had to do a workaround on it, so it's a little bit of a different thumbnail than normal. But
of course, I typed in Shasta Anon, and man, I got some weird stuff. There we go. It's that's S-A, obviously Shasta, S-H-A-S-T-A, sorry. Anon.
Wow.
With I know I'm having trouble this morning. Anon, A-N-O-N, all right? And it's the elections meltdown, so that's that. You got to watch that one if you haven't seen
it. There's a lot of that.
It's insanely crazy funny. Where are we going? I got a bunch of clips here, and then we also have a guest at the top of the hour. Dr. Laura Hobbs is coming in.
Yeah, talking about what's going on with the count and stuff over there at the ROV. Not that there's any problem, you know.
There's no problem.
Speaking of which, did you see attend the Board of Supervisor meeting about the letter and all that?
No, I didn't.
Actually, I watched it online the other night. But my point to the whole thing is, you know, they're going back and forth. These people no longer work there. Kathy Darlin no longer works there. So you can commit a crime. And because you no longer work there?
I don't know what the letter said.
The letter was too for the, remember the letter that they sent, for the Zuckerbucks?
Oh, right.
For the building and all that.
Right.
And then they circumvented the letter and changed the letter.
So that the Board of Supervisors approved.
Board of Supervisors gave them one letter and Kathy and them decided to change the wording on number 12 or whatever
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. And these people getting up there, well, they no longer work here. So you commit a crime, so because you no longer work there, you shouldn't be prosecuted or held responsible. Just saying.
Motive operando.
Well, these people are, you know, hands down, they will lie about anything. Truth means nothing. Honor means nothing to them. You know, right and wrong means nothing to them. It's about power. It's about winning. It's about, you know, taking care of themselves and nothing else to worry about. I mean, you know, government largesse, handouts, all the above.
Yeah, it just is amazing. You see it time over and over again, just like in Shasta Lake with Janice Powell. You know, you abused your parents, but That's in the past. That's a family matter. Well, you just let it go by.
Where did the money go? I haven't heard anybody ask, where did the money go? Because everyone's like, oh, this happened and this happened. But has anyone asked, where did that money go?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we might cover that later.
On the topic of,
lying?
Lying, yeah. So, first up is I think we're going to go, well, we got a bunch of different ones here. We've got FEMA, I think I'm going to start this one out with Whoopi Goldberg because this is the caliber of people that we're talking about here.
She's not a people's.
So are you ready in there? All right, let's go. Let's play this.
And while Al's getting mad about the climate, Whoopi Goldberg, still very much on her sex strike, is getting mad at bakeries. She tried to cancel a Staten Island mom and pop institution, claiming her order was refused because of her politics.
The place that made these refused to make them for me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What?
Oh. They said that their ovens had gone down, all kinds of stuff. Can't be because I'm a woman, but perhaps they did not like my politics.
Yeah.
Okay, let me stop right there.
Really?
When the oven stops working in the bakery, it doesn't care about your politics. This is like, okay, Whoopi Smollett, okay, or Juicy Goldberg. I don't know. Take your pick. These people, anything to cause division, anything they lie about everything. It's like, what, you're going to lie? Oh, so the oven was either broke or it wasn't. So these guys from Staten Island, this bakery's been in business, I guess, for 150 years or something. And so they had a response, and let's play that as well.
Like the rest of the country, that bakery had enough. We're done apologizing today. The whole island showed up to say, hey, Whoopi, our boiler broke. And by the way, screw you.
I think one simple message is you don't mess with Staten Island. And they're not going anywhere, despite what other people on television have to say.
Exactly the type of attitude and elitist mentality that the American people rejected resoundingly on Tuesday. By the way, what's Whoopi Goldberg doing here anyway? Didn't she say she was going to move if Trump won?
Yep.
We'll buy her some cupcakes for the flight. Thank you all. God bless.
We'll buy her some cupcakes for the flight. But yeah, hey, I thought they were all leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Except, no, not now.
I thought they were all leaving.
Oh, the only person I think left was George Clooney.
It's like Hitler in Germany. You had to flee the country. Isn't that how it works? Or do you just have a meeting with Biden at the White House over tea and crumpets and it's all forgotten because of...
Just hang out for a good time.
It wasn't real in the first place?
I never said that.
All right, let's play the end of the clip, and then I have another one up here.
It's not just Staten Island. We're witnessing a historic political realignment. Click here.
There we go. Now, this one is super funny. Jim Brewer did a routine the other night and roasting the Democrats. And if you want to go watch the whole thing, I got a clip here. It's about a minute or so. And listen to what he had to say about the whole Nazi thing.
Scared to snot. The anti-Trumpers are like, oh my God, if he gets in, like, we're just goodbye to my body. I mean, it's like they're Nazis. Think about how hard it is to get. I didn't see any of the videos of the rallies going, everybody unslain us. We need everybody's name who ends with Stein and Berg to come to the front and women. Your life is over. Back in the house. Release the dogs. We told you they were Nazis. You people lost your mind over that.
And you know, when you think about that, I mean, he's making fun of it, but it's so true. Nazis? Hitler? Is there any evidence of that at all?
Well, and in the meantime, this administration has some serious issues about what their priorities are. Let's have a listen to this for a second, just to see. Because if you or I did
Are you plugged in over there?
No.
Oh.
But I'm pretty sure if you or I did any of this, we would probably go to jail for animal cruelty. But let's go ahead and see what this administration's priorities were.
Donald Trump has been president-elect of the United States for just over a week now, and he's already created the Department of Government Efficiency, otherwise known as DOGE. The Department of Government Efficiency will be headed by Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, and its aim is to put an end to wasteful government spending. So what exactly has our government been spending money on the last 4 years? Well, let's go over it. The National Institute of Health spent $549,000 on cat research in Russia. $3.7 million went towards a study that got monkeys addicted to gambling. $350,000 to develop AI smart toilets. $400,000 went to a study on how to talk to ignorant people about climate change. This one really gets me. $100,000 to see if sunfish are more aggressive when given gin or tequila. $1.5 million to see if frogs in the country have a different mating call than frogs in the city. $200,000 to perform transgender surgeries on monkeys. And last but not least, $1 million to see if taking selfies makes you more happy. I don't know about you guys, but after
How was that?
Wow.
So, you know, what you really played was a list of padded grafting grifters that have been, shelling out money to their friends for any subject that they deem under the sun to be an emergency so that they can line the pockets of all the people that are supporting them. That's really what this is all about. And
yeah, who's ahead of those places?
Well, and let me just go a little further and let's exacerbate on that a little bit. Here is a headline. Unreal. After burning through more than $1 billion, the Kamala Harris campaign is now struggling to pay senior staffers. Now, think about this.
Yeah, she's in the negative, like, I don't know.
20 million.
Yeah.
So think about that for a second. This person was going to be in charge of the money. And I mean, there was a list of, she paid Oprah off like $5 million, Eminem $1 million.
Beyonce.
Yeah. So all those celebrities that went up there and, oh yeah, Trump's a Nazi.
Yeah, but remember, she said she wasn't going to do anything different than Biden did.
But they all were being paid off. They are all a bunch of whores. Okay?
That's what I'm saying. She's
they're a bunch of prostitutes. Nothing. They will say anything they're paid to say.
We're not talking about the Tyson fight, are we?
Well, that, we could go into, you know, talking about sumo wrestling and I don't know. Did you get the shot of Mike walking away from the camera there?
Oh, you got
it. I didn't watch
that.
It because I don't have Netflix.
God. So we got an up the butt bikini shot off of Tyson after. It's like what? I mean, I didn't want to see that. It kind of grossed me out a little bit, you know.
But, yeah, from what I understand, I didn't miss much.
But, no.
Oh, that's
the people
another
that
payoff.
Won were the ones that didn't watch it.
That's a payoff. I mean, $60 million. They're joking about it. There's memes now. Oh, yeah, we just got $60 million for acting like we hate each other. But going back to this campaign thing, you know, I mean, how do you spend that much money, go that far into debt, and you're going to be the one managing the money coming up, at least, you know, spending it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you freaking kidding me? So this whole thing is, you know, you got the prostitutes and you got the prostitutes and you got the, I mean, take your pick. Walk through these guys are all getting paid off. When you got $1 billion to spend, there's a lot of people all of a sudden that are endorsing you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as soon as you drop $20 million in somebody's pocket, they're really happy to say whatever you want them to say.
Become your best friend then?
The problem is if you have to borrow the $20 million to pay them in the first place. and the donors aren't really happy. They just spent $1 billion on a failed campaign. They're not super happy about it. But, you know, I mean, what's a billion here, what's a billion there? It's a drop in the bucket, right, when you got a unlimited supply.
Well, not particularly is why this RF Kennedy pick is so important.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have a little clip
there is
here.
So much going on with RF Kennedy.
Now, let's play this little clip, and then we'll talk about that because, this is climate change, right? We got to worry about that. Hold on. Let's see what he has to say about FDA, EPA, all of these guys. But here we go.
And on day one, we're going to declare an emergency like we did in COVID. But it's going to be a chronic disease emergency, and we're going to get the fluoride out of the water. We're going to get the chemicals out of the food. We're going to get the chemicals out of the chemtrails.
I want to stop it there. I thought those chemtrails didn't exist.
Only certain people, yeah, but remember, was it Georgia or whatever, outlawed them in their skies? But everybody else, yeah, no problem.
I thought it was a figment of our imaginations.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny, too, because you can actually find the Vice article that they did, and they did like a 45-minute expose on how people are cloud seeding. You go over to Dubai, the most recent flooding that they just had, that was a failed attempt at cloud seeding.
I don't know what is going on, what all the ramifications. I don't know what chemicals they're spraying. But I'll tell you what. When you look up there, and there's a crisscross pattern across the sky in every direction, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go, this is different than it was 20 years ago.
Well, right.
The aluminum. Okay. So, all right. So, they're one of the big things that they are claiming that they're spraying is aluminum. Well, it's very interesting that you got places like Monsanto that are coming out with aluminum-resistant plants that do better. Why do the tomatoes not grow when you just try to grow your organic tomatoes?
You know, I just was flying, and the planes that I was flying in, they didn't, like, go straight and then just make, like, a 90-degree.
Right.
Like you see in the sky. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't think
any of them go 90 degrees.
or, you know, maybe 30 or whatever. No, they go up and they'll make a straight right. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was flying, we didn't do anything like that.
You can't make a straight right in a plane. You got to bank.
Well,
can you make McDonald's healthy again?
No, that's absolutely off the table.
Oh, well, that all depends on what you mean by healthy.
Yeah, pretty soon McDonald's is going to have a tofu burger and a kale salad. You believe that, right?
So Mr. Kennedy is promising to make big changes, as the Wall Street Journal reports. He plans a wholesale revamp of the U.S. food and drug regulations, from banning certain food ingredients to a renewed focus on the obesity crisis.
I actually have it straight from his mouth. Let's listen to the rest of the clip.
Awesome.
And we're going to – there's 1,000 ingredients in our food that are banned in Europe. And we're going to get rid of all those chemicals. And I know how to do it. And
yeah.
So he's terrible for wanting to get rid of all the chemicals that are in our food.
He's a rat.
And the vaccines that cause harm. What a bad person.
He's a rat. Yeah. Just let the mainstream media tell you about all these appointments. They're all just bad people. Pete Hegseth. He's screwed up. He's this, he's that. And then there's a picture of Rachel Levine next to him, and you're like, yeah, and your guy's not screwed up at all, right? He's wearing a wig, or he grew his hair long and took hormone blockers, and who knows, whack off his, you know, I don't know.
Well, and all these people, I mean, you had the memes that were posted around from all of these health ministers from, like, Europe and then ours and the czars and all the rest of these people, and they look massively unhealthy and unwell, just in general. And that's a big part of the problems in our food, like what you were saying. There's a lot of other countries to where literally the food that we eat on a daily basis
is
banned.
Yeah.
And it's banned because it's known to cause all the issues that we're seeing. It's known to cause... Why is it that on the radio right now, we have almost every other commercial is a commercial for IBS stuff? That's interesting.
What's IBS?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I don't I don't watch commercials.
Right?
So yeah, but did you see where Kraft just got nailed for listing that they were all natural or something about their artificial ingredients here? Yeah,
well, and that's the
I'll
thing
bring
too.
That up.
I saw so, that.
Yeah.
You've got anything that's labeled natural flavors.
There
that's
you
because
go.
They don't want to tell you what's actually in it because the natural flavors are not natural. You would never look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that's natural flavors. But they get away with labeling that because of the way our current stuff is set up.
Mm-hmm. And cyanide is also natural.
Right.
There's lots of natural ingredients, like heroin comes from poppies.
Well, yeah.
I think
yeah, it was over the mac and cheese labeling, Kraft Heinz.
Yeah, I want one of those special. I want one of those McDonald's McPoppy specials.
I could see that being really popular.
It could be popular in the Golden State. It's not only it's our California flower, we've decided to import the other kind from Afghanistan and make burgers out of them.
Make McDonald's great again.
He also can't just eat one. You'll have to come back for more.
He also promised to slash the number of employees across all sorts of sub-departments and agencies like the CDC, NIH, and FDA. Quote, we need to act fast so that on January 21st, 600 people are going to walk into the offices of NIH and 600 people are going to leave and be fired, end quote.
I was listening to some program the other day, and they said, wonder if they just took all the Social Security numbers of the people of head of those departments, threw them in a hat, and then said, well, if your Social Security ends in this number and it's odd, you're out of here. It's like, okay, that might work, too.
Let's go to our first break.
And with that, we'll take a break. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I got love for every nation. I got love for all races. I got love for all religions. Got love for so many places. No love for a politician, a congressman, or a senator. If the country that they put in first ain't the United States of America. No love for these politicians with corporate interests in other countries. Only one that I serve is God. I don't serve man, I don't serve money. No love for the people living in the USA, but always hating it. Got a lot I probably shouldn't say to y'all. Matter of fact, I'll just pray on it. I'm pro-life, pro-God, pro-gun. Not ashamed of it. Yo, worshiping bullets, yo, killing babies, mutilating children, yo, it's Satanist. Supporting the troops in their tour doesn't mean that you're supporting the war. Supporting the freedoms that they fighting for doesn't mean that you're supporting the gore. Supporting the country I live in an oven, it doesn't mean blindly supporting the government. The world that we live in is trouble. They turn up the media, we should defund it. Supporting America for other nations does not make me a racist. If you like communism so much, I'll pay for your vacation. America first, the people are hurt.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
It's easy to do. The things you wanted, I bought them for you. Graceless lady, you know who I am. You know I can't let you slide through my hands. Wild horses drag me away. Wild, wild horses couldn't drag me
away. Sovereign Minds, we're back. Home of the Free Fire Media, your truth radio. I wanted to finish playing that RFK clip. That was on Buddy Brown's site. And he's talking about the FDA workers and stuff.
Okay, real quick, to answer your question, David, the producer, the money went for the heart machines.
From the money.
The
Zuck Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Here, let's listen to a little more of this.
Oh, isn't this incredible? I mean, I almost see this as like America repenting for its sins, y'all. I mean, we had all these poisons everywhere. We knew about them. We're finally fighting to change them. It's kind of repentance when you think about it. But regardless of who anybody voted for, everybody should be supporting this. What a contrast. Now, if you don't feel good, you can just ask the Democrats what to do, and they'll say, cut your penis off. If you don't fit in as a 13-year-old girl at school and you're having a hard time, well, just cut your boobs off. And take poisonous hormones that were never meant to be in your body. Having a case of the Mondays, just cut your penis off. If your favorite show got canceled on Netflix, off with the penis. You see what I'm saying? That's the Democrats' plan for everything, is mental freaking illness. Now, this gets even better. Y'all ready? Big Pharma stanks have completely tanked after the RFK Jr. Secretary of Health announcement happened. Because it's payback time. Y'all treated us like a bunch of lab rats, but now the lab rats are 14 foot tall. They broke out of their enclosure, and they're coming for the mad scientist who did all this. I become more and more proud of my vote every single day. I mean, just look at the difference between the health secretary we've had in the last 4 years versus the health secretary we're getting. I mean, come on. And now we're hearing that the FDA is threatening to quit their jobs because RFK's been nominated as health secretary. I love when the trash takes itself out. The FDA knows that daddy's home. Right now, the FDA hears daddy's truck pulling down that long gravel driveway after a long day of work, and you got caught cheating at school. It's come time for payback, and I'll tell you what, they can hear those belt loops singing all through Washington, D.C., and they're running scared. I think it's just a little bit suspicious that the FDA employees want to quit right now. Maybe we shouldn't let them quit. Maybe we should investigate you first to see what you're running from. Yeah. It's worth looking into. The way I see it, y'all, Elon cut 90% of the Twitter staff, and it's working just fine. So maybe, just maybe, we should try the same thing with the government. It's a sobering truth, y'all, but the way I see it, we're going to get one of two things, okay? We're either going to get the greatest turnaround of any nation ever, or We're going to go down that rabbit hole, and we're going to find out just how far the deep state goes and what they're capable of. Now, I want y'all to think about this Bible verse real quick, because it's one of my favorites, Proverbs 29:2. It says, when the righteous are in authority and become great, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan and sigh. The reverse is also true, you know. The reverse is also true. If the righteous are in power and the people are groaning, why is that? It's because they're evil. No one with a real brain is going to argue that having healthier food running through our country is a bad thing. We've gotten more done in the last week than the past 4 years. And it makes me happier than Rosie O'Donnell getting free chicken nuggets through the drive-thru.
Ain't that the truth? And with that, I guess we got a caller on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, gang. Hey, Mark, you're insinuating they're putting opium in those Happy Meals at McDonald's?
Yeah, you just got to watch out for the letdown fries.
World's happiest place gets happier.
I'm jonesing for a burger, I'm really jonesing for a burger.
You know, if I want a Happy Meal, I'll go to Burger and Brews. What's happier than that? Hey, are you guys aware of what Kamala's husband, he was stumping for her several days before the election? And this is true. The guy's saying when she decided to run for president, she put her head down and went to work. Now, No, it's true. I saw the clip. The guy actually did that. God's hand is on this, everybody. And that's the way I see it up here, Bernie. God bless.
Awesome.
Take care.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Andrew.
The legend of Bernie speaks.
Really happy that Kamala's hands aren't on this anymore.
You know, the lead-ins today are perfect. Okay, I got another clip here. This is from Freedom Tunes. This is kind of on the same wavelength that Andrew was just talking about. Here we go.
Breaking news, the Harris campaign announces that the election loss was mutual. Harris campaign insiders are reporting that on election night, moments before the final results were called, Kamala Harris told staffers she didn't even really want to be president anymore. According to staffers, moments before Pennsylvania was called, Kamala received a brief phone call. After hanging up, she stood up and said, I just decided I don't want to be president anymore. Even if I won, which I still could at this point, I would say, no, not interested, no thank you. When confused staffers asked her why, she responded, basically, I just don't want to be president. It sounds like something that just isn't right for me right now. I just want the record to show I said this before they called Pennsylvania, I mean, whichever state they call.
That's right, Mac. In the aftermath, the Harris campaign has been telling allies and donors that the decision was mutual, and that she just didn't click with the American people the way she thought she would. On Thursday, the campaign released a statement saying, the spark just wasn't there, and America is fun, but I really just don't see future.
That's right. The same statement went on to say, we hope the American people are very happy with what they've done and the direction they've decided to go in. I'm fine. I'll be fine. Sometimes voters still feel a connection with an ex-president. It's fine. You were better together anyway. Everyone always said that. I hope you're happy. Is it because he makes more money? Is that it?
The end of that is a little bit confusing.
Oh, the messaging coming from the campaign has been very confusing. In general, they have been insisting it was mutual and amicable, but yesterday Americans woke up to a flurry of official statements from the Kamala campaign sent at 3 a.m. with statements like, you literally didn't deserve me, Europe is literally on my side, and you look like an asshole. You said you were. I cannot believe this. Everyone told me you were over your rich felon ex-bad boy with all the money. I'm such an idiot. People said you were literally calling him your president while I was in the White House. I'm sorry if our last couple of statements upset you. I'm sorry. I'm just hurting and hope we can still be friends. And finally, bitch.
It's also been reported that the entire campaign got new haircuts.
Now, that's right. Here to discuss this, we have three key members of the...
So that's a breakup letter, get it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that. So it's like she's writing a breakup letter with her boyfriend. My goodness, can't make this stuff up.
Still on this topic here from RFK. So, Kennedy also wants to stop the revolving door of HHS employees from big government employment to go big food and big pharma companies and then back to government again. He argues it creates a conflict of interest and corruption, and given how many FDA commissioners have gone back and forth between the government industry, that's a pretty serious point.
Well, I mean, I think it's been across a lot of different things, whether it's big pharma, the banking system, corporate media. All of these have had the same revolving door thing going on here with the politicians becoming part of the team, if you will. And so Trump's saying he's putting a 7-year ban on that for sure. You know, with the federal employees, you can't just go back and forth, or you can't just, you know, get out of your job. You go in there, you do something, then all of a sudden you got a cush job. Like, you pass an emergency resolution that says that everybody has to take a vax, and then you get to go work for Pfizer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, meh. Wrong answer. I think you should all be fired.
Well,
so,
yeah, you can't be the FDA commissioner and pass all these bills and all these rules and then go get a cush job to where you sit back with golden handcuffs and do nothing.
Kind of like Newsom down here. You know, as soon as the emergency started, oh, no, wait a minute. It was right before the emergency started, and all of a sudden he's got a billion-dollar deal for face masks with China.
Yeah, exactly.
with China. Okay. So, did I say China? You know, I got to work on my Trump voice there.
So he also has the safety and efficacy of vaccines on his thing. He's got long question the vaccine schedule for infants and kids. Too many jabs too soon, for example, and the safety and the manufacturing process around those vaccines. However, what he said is he wants to end up doing research, and he wants to be able to put those papers available for people rather than just banning it. So it's your choice still. He's not going to say you can't get the vaccines, you can't do any of that stuff. But what he is going to do is he's going to give you the data to be able to decide whether or not you really want to be giving your kids all these vaccines.
He's Stalin. Right. He's Stalin. I would say Hitler, but that job was already taken. So, you know, come on. I mean, it just makes me so angry sometimes. So I want to bring in another story that kind of feathers into exactly what we're talking about. FEMA supervisor told team to skip homes with Trump signs, and that was after the hurricane in Florida, and also in
South Carolina.
So now they got the evidence showing in several. I had several articles I looked at this about, but she got fired. This was Marnie Washington, the Federal Emergency Management Agency supervisor, who was accused of ordering subordinates to skip offering aid to Florida homes with Trump campaign signs. And she was reportedly fired. However, FEMA wrote, "We have taken measures to remove the employee from her role and are investigating the matter to prevent this from happening ever again," indicating that she may be still employed at FEMA. And this is exactly what they do. They don't fire anyone.
They just usually promote them and move them.
No, they just move them someplace. They shuffle the deck a little bit. And it makes it look like, oh, well, we took care of that. Kind of like, I don't know, the Secret Service after the shooting attempt. He got shot after the assassination attempt of Trump. And then they just shuffle everybody around. Nobody gets fired. Oh, I guess the one person that was at the top got fired that time because she got sacrificed. And then we'll put the guy that was in charge of the lead of taking care of the situation in her position.
Well, even then, nobody wanted to fire. It was basically just because the public outcry and people were so pissed.
They had to throw a sacrificial. Yeah. They had to sacrifice somebody because of the outcry was so great that people just said, somebody's got to go off with her head. So it didn't help that she was kind of a dumb something.
Well, and this is government corruption at its finest.
Can I say a dumb donkey or, you know, what I mean? I can say dumbass? All right, so she was a dumbass. No? Did I just get sick?
Dumb donkey, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you say dip?
I think I just got censored.
Is it funny that the Democratic Party uses the...
It's a perfect...
But can I say jackass?
I don't know. I'm sure it's fine.
Can you say dipshit?
No.
You just got 6 seconds.
Shoot.
Let's keep going on this. Can I say?
You guys keep talking and we won't have a program. There you have it.
Oh, all right. Man. So,
moving in terms of
government corruption, there was a CIA officer that was arrested in Cambodia this week for his involvement leaking satellite imagery and analysis about a month ago regarding Israel's then-planned strikes on Iran. The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Real Clear Investigations report the man's name was Asif William Rahman, and he is a Pakistani descent working for the CIA station in Cambodia. Because his top secret clearance, he was able to access satellite imagery and unlawfully share it online for military and intel listeners. He had TSSCI clearance with full scope poly. As for why he did it, that's unclear, which really, is it really that unclear? Pakistani descent, what's going on over there? The fact of the matter is we have a lot of people in our government right now that are compromised.
No, really?
I have a question. When you're from Pakistan, how do you have a Jewish name?
Dad's well, Jewish? I don't know.
Rothman?
No, it wasn't Rothman. It was...
You can make your name anything you want.
Oh, yeah.
It was Rothman, wasn't it?
No, it was Rahman.
Rahman. I was going to say... So what you're saying, he was top. He was the top. he was top Rahman.
Now he is.
As opposed to bottom Rahman.
There's way too many ways that you could take
Wow, no kidding there, Dave. Wow, leave that one alone.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, golly.
Are you saying you don't like ramen noodles?
Well, I've got
I don't now.
I'm gonna go directly to my next story. China's leader is in Peru today, which that was back on Friday. He's verifying his new port. That's bad news for the U.S. and something to put back on our radars. So look 40 miles to the capital city of Lima. You'll see an old fishing town called Chinque, population 60,000. But over the past few years, the city's gained some new residents, namely Chinese nationals. They're associated with Chinese shipping company, COSCO, which back in 2011 agreed to help construct a multi-billion-dollar port. It'll be the largest, arguably advanced port in all of South America, designed specifically to speed delivery of goods from the region to China to Asia. But that's not all. China will control the port's entire operation, including who uses it, and that gives them the ability to use the port for commercial and military operations. When the deal was signed years ago, Peru believed they would still be able to decide who got to use the port, plus when and how even the Chinese owned it. But that wasn't true. The fine print of the agreement, China's COSCO got exclusive authority to use and control the entire Peruvian port, which the authorities in Lima realized that. They said it was a mistake, an administrative error, and they begged to renegotiate. China said no, obviously. And the Peruvians then dropped the matter, trying to make the best of the fact that they signed away their port for the next 30 years. So, now we have a port that is not very far from the U.S. that can be used for Chinese operations and shipping
it, right.
Goods.
You gotta say it can be used with China.
China!
China!
China! China.
But that is another huge portion of the way that they might be able to combat us and to have the war in the Pacific to try to go after Taiwan. Now, they have structured their themselves to be able to go after Taiwan by no later than 2027.
Well, I don't know. I've got a couple other stories here I've been looking at here. There's a bunch of them here, but the one I'm looking at here is...
Especially on vaccines and stuff. All the stuff that's coming out on them is like crazy.
I got Russian forces unleashed over 120 missiles and 90 drones in one of the largest strikes. All of a sudden, that just disappeared. That is so interesting. That just disappeared off of my screen. I'm not kidding. It just blank, boom, gone. Is that a weird one or what? Oh, no, there it is. It came back. So one of the largest strikes of the war against Ukraine, several regions undergoing power blackouts. Gosh darn, how'd you like to be a civilian over there?
No, that'd be awful.
We're talking millions of people dying. This is crazy. I don't know. We got Laura Hobbs coming in at top of the hour, and I see that there is a another story here I was looking at was maybe we'll start actually getting some real news here from, I don't know, mainstream won't be around, so I think they're about gone.
But, yeah, they're pretty much history, I think, now.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time. We've got election fraud. Minnesota election judge arrested for allowing 11 unregistered voters to cast their ballot in 2024 election. So they arrested a Minnesota election judge has been arrested and charged with two felony counts. That's what needs to happen if you're going to stop this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're going to be crying, oh, you're going after political opponents. No, we're going after criminals because you guys were going after your political opponents that hadn't committed a crime. We're going after political opponents that were criminals.
Yeah, if you're a criminal, I mean, really? You just need to go away.
I know it's a subtle difference, but it's a big one.
They're so screwed up. Oh, well, they're no longer there, so let's just not prosecute them. They haven't done anything wrong. Really?
Except use the law against their political opponents in an illegal way so that they can keep power. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is a story.
As soon as they say your name, you'll be on the air.
Dave, you're hot.
We have a caller. I'm not sure who it is yet, but we will get to you.
Drum roll.
It's Dolores.
Oh, I was going to say Dave.
No, it's me. The reason I called is because you mentioned the famous words, election fraud.
Yeah.
I hope that everybody... There's enough people to attend the next meeting at the city council in the city of Shasta Lake. Janice Powell should never have ran because she was found guilty of elder abuse, financial abuse, and theft, okay? And also she's holding two positions at the same time, so she didn't qualify for her to run. So she basically stole the vote from any other person who was running. Then Tony Coates, who doesn't also didn't qualify to run because her last day working for the city of Shasta Lake was November 10th in 2023. She had to wait 1 year before she could run. That's called a one-year ban act. So, therefore, I file a complaint for them to not to certify the election in the city of Shasta Lake. So I'm going to do my best to make sure that these people won't do this again.
Didn't they lose? I know Janice Powell did. Who's the other one?
Yeah, but the thing is, even though she lost, she stole votes from other people because she didn't qualify to be running, period.
I'm with you, Dolores. So one thing I'll say about you, Dolores, is that there's no discrimination on your target.
How did they even allow her to go on? I mean, they... Yeah.
I'm for anything that makes our elections legal, fair, open, transparent, and making sure they're accurate based on the law. I mean, and I don't care which side of the aisle it's on.
Exactly. That's what that's what I do. And here in August 17 when they actually signed up to run, I made a complaint with Mr. Toller. And Tom Toller in the election department for him to basically to look into it. And he basically said that it was not in his jurisdiction. So for me to take it to the DEA and to the Secretary of State, which I did. But as we know, Stephanie Bridges is not really going to enforce some of these laws. And so, but I have taken it as, to other agencies but I'm not going to allow this, regardless who was running, and we need to stop this, election fraud.
We go back to the DA again, deciding who gets prosecuted and who doesn't get prosecuted.
This is a real shocker, Dolores. I think I might agree with you.
Me too.
Is that crazy? the thing is that that's why we want equal protection under the law, equal justice under the law. That's why justice is supposed to be blind. That's why when you see the statue of justice holding the scales and she's blind, she's not supposed to discriminate based on party, sexual,
anything.
It's based on whether you broke the law or not. And that has been an absolute burr under my saddle for quite some time because the Democrats, the progressives, the woke people, they don't care about justice. They don't care about equality. All they care about is that they win and they retain power. So it's refreshing to hear you talking about this because I think it's a subject that needs to be talked about more. Is it doesn't matter if justice is blind. If you commit a crime, then it should be remedied equally.
Equally, right. And that's what I'm saying, that I hope a lot of people attend Tuesday meeting because they're holding one. And I will be addressing that, and I will be, making sure that the election doesn't get certified because, like I said, the other day, I'm actually going to file a restraining order, injunction and everything. I'm going to file everything I can because it's criminal for these people to be committing voter fraud, because that's what it is.
Well, I think the public spoke up out there, too, as well, because they also...
They're starting to.
Well, they also didn't vote them in.
Well, we don't know that because we don't know what the count's like on the ballot.
The outcome would have been, No, these voters deserve to know what they've done and what they have been doing. And if they knew this way ahead of time, I don't think they would have voted for these people.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I totally agree with that.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR.
I guess we're at the top of the hour. We will see you on the other side.
Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. President Biden has for the first time authorized the use of U.S.-supplied long-range missiles by Ukraine to strike deep inside Russia. According to people familiar with the matter this afternoon, the decision a major U.S. policy shift, one Vladimir Putin has warned the U.S. not to do. Meanwhile, new Russian attacks on Ukraine today.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said that Russia has launched 120 missiles and 90 drones in a large-scale attack across Ukraine, targeting its energy infrastructure. Zelensky also said that Russia deployed various types of drones, including Shahed, cruise, and ballistic missiles. He said Ukrainian defenses shot down 140 air targets. Russian strikes have hammered Ukraine's power generation capacity, prompting repeated emergency power shutdowns and nationwide rolling blackouts. The combined drone and missile attack was said to be the most powerful in 3 months. I'm Karen Shamas.
Correspondent Naeon Kim reporting on families searching for answers after 10 newborn babies were killed in a hospital fire in India.
Outside a hospital in Jhansi City, family members argue with officials and police. The blaze tore through the neonatal intensive care unit, killing at least 10 newborn babies. We used to hear that the arrangements at this hospital were very good, but the alarm didn't go off after the short circuit. What kind of arrangement is this? Initial reports say the fire broke out due to a short circuit. According to local authorities, it spread quickly through the ward, where 55 infants were being treated. The government has ordered a high-level inquiry. I'm Naeon Kim.
A rare Israeli airstrike on central Beirut today has killed Hezbollah's chief spokesman, an official with the terrorist group confirming that Israel has killed numerous people in Beirut lately. More on these stories.
Our nation's problems have been building for the past 50 years, and they're not going away overnight, which is why we must prepare now for a financial collapse that will affect the entire economy. The good news is there's an easy way to do that. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Paul, and I believe everyone should consider a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group to diversify their IRA or 401k. Gold is a proven bedrock in almost every kind of economy. To learn more, get a free info kit from my trusted friends at Birch Gold by texting the word PREPARE to 989898. Don't wait until decades of government irresponsibility comes crashing down on your retirement. Get your free info kit on gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group now. Text PREPARE to the number 989898. That's PREPARE to 989898.
The gold pocket watch given to the ship captain who rescued 700 survivors from the Titanic is sold at auction for nearly $200. I should say $2 million. The 18-carat Tiffany watch was given by three women survivors to Captain Arthur Rostron for diverting his passenger ship, the RMS Carpathia, to save them and others after the ship struck an iceberg and sank in 1912. Auctioneers Henry Aldridge and Son, who sold the watch to a private U.S. collector yesterday, said it's the most paid for a piece of Titanic memorabilia so far. A flip of the switch, some oohs and ahs from a crowd of onlookers, and a giant decorated Christmas tree went up in lights on Vienna's Town Mall yesterday as the Yuletide season got going in Austria's capital. Mulled wine, frosted gingerbread cookies, all kinds of vendors around. German Christmas markets are the talk of Western Europe during the season, and they're getting underway. News and analysis at townhall.com. California farmers devoting more land to pistachios these days. They're hardier and more drought-tolerant in a state that needs it.
The nut has surged over the past decade to become the state's sixth biggest agricultural commodity in value, generating nearly $3 billion last year. Industry experts say pistachio orchards can withstand drought better than some other crops and take less water per acre than the state's biggest nut crop, almonds. Much of the crop is headed to China, but experts say Americans also are eating more pistachios, too.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Today is Sunday, November the 17th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today. Amongst them, film director Martin Scorsese, the icon 82 years old today. Former House Speaker John Boehner turns 75. Actor Stephen Root has 73 candles on his birthday cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
We've heard that music enough. Let's. We got an update here on a news flash, a bombshell, if you will, that we've verified it from several different sources that Biden is authorizing long-range missiles to be shot into Russia from Ukraine, and I'm looking at Taylor Greene's ex post here. American people have gave a mandate on November 5th against these exact decisions, and we do not want to keep fighting in these foreign wars. And, you know, this is, he's trying to start World War III here, and so we want to fix the problem. Enough is enough of this stuff. But we needed to get that out there because that just came over the wires in like
five minutes ago,
11 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to get that out there because this is a, in my opinion, Nero fiddling while Rome's burning, and this, what is this, his last act of defiance of a crazy person?
Well, yeah, you've got 2 months that are left. It just came out literally Friday from France that the war in Ukraine was lost and that they were going to end up needing to give up some land in order to be able to make it work. Well, now with this new thing, now you're talking like literally like that was his line in the sand to use nuclear weapons, and we're Trump with it now.
This is dropping the other shoe.
And it looked like they were already going to play ball with Trump because they've already been talking with Putin.
Right.
So this guy has got to get out of office. They got to stop this. I don't know how they do it right away. But with that said, we had to get that on the board, and then we're going to listen to the town hall. Then we'll get to our guests here, Dr. Laura Hobbs, and about the election stuff. All right. Here we go. Well, here we don't go.
And maybe here we go.
Are we ready to go in there?
Yeah. Oh. Hey, Terry wanted to clarify. It's not that we shot. It's not that Ukraine
he authorized
shot.
It.
He authorized.
That's what I said. Yeah. He authorized it. They haven't started the shooting yet. But I mean, if he's authorizing it as president, that means that they might do it or they could do it. So anyway, we appreciate the call, Terry. I'm going to go ahead and play the town hall meeting. If you want to call back in after that and clarify, that's fine. But here we go.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm TV Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. The City of Reading and the Reading Rodeo Association have agreed to a 25-year lease amendment with two 10-year extension options to keep the rodeo grounds at its current location. The partnership aims to upgrade the facility, which is expected to cost $12 million. The city and the association will work together to explore funding opportunities for the renovations, which include upgrades to the announcer's booth, private boxes, and grandstands. The agreement comes after months of negotiations and support from the community and city council members. The law
long-term lease will allow the rodeo grounds to continue hosting the annual rodeo and other community events, preserving the local tradition while creating a welcoming space for the future. Also in Reading, the Reading Police Department and other local law enforcement agencies conducted a retail theft operation at various stores in Reading, resulting in 31 arrests. They arrested Joshua Powell, who they had investigated for organized retail theft, on outstanding felony warrants related to grand theft. A subsequent probation search at his residence revealed the deplorable living conditions, with officers finding 7 children inside. They placed all 7 children in temporary protective custody and filed charges of child endangerment against Powell and the mother living at the residence. Despite the initial arrest, a medical issue stemming from Powell's excessive narcotics use required transporting him to a hospital. The hospital later released him. In county government news, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors approved Thursday evening to send a letter to the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate audit log issues in the March 5th primary county elections, as presented by Stephen Umfleet. Supervisors also discussed ink overspray issues on ballots supplied by Runbeck Election Services, but representatives from Runbeck and Hart InterCivic Machines did not attend the meeting. Voters expressed concerns about the audit logs and ballot duplication process, with some preferring hand-counting ballots. Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters Tom Toller attributed the duplication issues to Runbeck. The board voted 3-2 to request a DOJ investigation into Runbeck's ink overspray issues. On a lighter note, Cameron Brooks, a 24-year-old singer from Siskiyou County, recently appeared on The Voice for a second time, receiving a 4-chair turn from the celebrity coaches. Despite facing rejection in her first audition in 2021 and being diagnosed with myocarditis shortly after, Brooks persevered, inspired by her brother's resilience after a paralyzing football injury. She visited local schools to share her message of never giving up on dreams. Brooks graduated summa cum laude from USC with a psychology degree, fulfilling a promise to her late grandfather. With the support of her family and newfound confidence in her unique voice, Brooks continues her musical journey while also aspiring to become a physician's assistant. Finally, at the state level, Governor Gavin Newsom agreed to pay a $13,000 fine in a settlement with the Fair Political Practices Commission for failing to report charitable donations made on his behalf within the required 30-day time frame. State law mandates that elected officials report these donations, which are not subject to campaign contribution limits. The commission found Newsom and his 2018 campaign committee filed 18 donation reports late, sometimes by months, including a $12 million payment from T-Mobile. Newsom's campaign attributed some late filings to relying on third parties for information. A spokesperson noted Newsom has filed over 1,000 other reports on time. The settlement resolved the matter without an administrative hearing to determine Newsom's liability. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Wow, that was a lot in that town hall.
It was.
Wow, and crazy days indeed. We could talk about the FPPC and.
Oh yeah, we could go on about that for a while, couldn't we? Yeah. And they may come involved in it at some point anyway. But.
So let's get to our guest here. We've got Dr. Laura Hobbs with us today. She's in the studio right now.
Yeah.
I guess you've got some information and some news for us about
the ballots and A's and B's ballots and all the hoopla on that.
That's correct. Thank you for having me. So,
thanks for giving me a call.
Sure. We have an update on Friday evening at 6:21 p.m. I was there when they were finishing the tabulation. This update said that 73,065 ballots total had been counted. However, what I wasn't aware of is there was a separate press release that explained that it's not actually 73,000 total ballots.
That's
It's just half of that. So these are just the A cards. So if you remember when your ballots came in the mail, you had two cards. Mm-hmm. One was the A card, the other was the B card. A card had, you know, the state and the national elections. The B card had some of the measures in all of the local races. Yes. So it turns out that this Runbeck printing error has caused more of a problem in the B card than the A card. This is what they're telling us. I haven't confirmed that myself. But they're holding back the B cards. So what's happened is they've actually only counted approximately 39,300 B cards.
This is the local races.
This, yeah, local races and measures.
So there's overspray on both cards.
Yes.
And so more on the B cards, which is local races.
Yes, that's correct.
If this isn't a mandate to go to hand counting, I mean, how much more do you need? You know,
exactly.
I mean, Florida, they counted in 4 hours, 20 million people, but it's a problem here. I think that Trump, one of the first things he should do, if he hasn't already got it on his agenda, is mandate voter ID and mandate proof of citizenship, and then they should go to letting the county choose their method of tabulating.
So the ROV is kind of misleading the people with the count. Because most of us thought the local races were pretty well a done deal, but evidently not if there's still 39,000 to count.
Right. So if you're a local candidate right now looking at this, you have to understand that they're not even halfway through counting your races yet.
Have they got a time frame on this?
Well, I'm not sure what their time frame is. They have December 3rd to certify by the state standards.
It's already 12 days past the election.
Right, and we have the Thanksgiving holiday coming up. So one thing that we have to understand that vote by mail is inherently slow, inefficient, and expensive. You have 30 days before the election, 30 days after, and too many opportunities to cheat. But then this issue that came up with the Runbeck printing made it even more inefficient and more slow and more complex.
I thought we were doing all this to save money because the hand counting was too costly.
I think the opposite is true. The opposite is true. They are paying so much in overtime right now for their employees. Last week, their employees worked from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. So it's just ridiculous. They still haven't even gotten to duplicating the Election Day votes. So the Election Day votes are supposed to be count without ceasing. You're supposed to count until you're done.
Right.
But they weren't able to duplicate the ones that needed duplication on Election Day. And so there's 4,000 outstanding Election Day ballots that still haven't been counted. That's another thing the candidates need to be aware of, is that those Election Day votes tend to go in favor of the conservatives, and they still haven't counted all of the Election Day votes. So there's 4,001 outstanding Election Day votes. And these, by California law, are supposed to have been counted already.
Who cares about the law? Does the law matter anymore in California?
Especially, it seems like in Chester County, when it comes to our ballots and stuff, our pick and choose which laws or who you are, if we follow it or not.
I think that's equal justice, isn't it, where we get to pick and choose the ones we like?
Well, it's just insanity when you look at these machines. They're proprietary. You don't know what's going on. If we actually cared about our elections, we would have open source machines backed by blockchain.
Okay. But Trump called for that. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. He's going
to
go for that.
Well, we need it. You have to be able to have everybody who has security and intelligence training
be able to look it over.
Yeah.
You have to be able to check the data.
My point is, you shouldn't have to rely on experts. You should be able to understand it with a fifth grade education exactly what's happening from start to finish.
I agree
with
that.
We get rid of the machines, and we do it all by hand, and everyone can understand it. It's completely transparent.
Now, isn't Runbeck the same people we had problems and issues on ballots before? Am I mistaken on that?
I'm not sure that we had issues particularly with them, but they did certainly in Arizona. So this is a company from Arizona that has a very poor record as far as creating issues on Election Day. And also hiding some of their information.
Wow.
Since they're a private business, they say this is proprietary. We won't give you. Arizona actually paid them to do signature verification, but then they wouldn't allow people to see what they had actually done as far as making sure the signatures match.
Why wouldn't we contract locally, and why would we use them in the first place if they were signatures?
Well, we actually did try to do that, and there was a proposal before the new ROV to get a new contractor in. We had done all the background work and identifying the contractor. They said, just give us the RFP and we'll get it done for you. The county didn't move on it. The ROV and the board did not move.
The board didn't move on it, or was it the ROV that was kind of slow walking it?
I think it was both. Ultimately, the board has the purse strings, so they can end any contract they want to. But they were wanting to give, I believe this is my opinion, but I feel they were
trying
to give Thomas
Toller
a chance and give him the opportunity to make these decisions for the county in his new position, which was a mistake.
And he didn't step up on it.
Yeah, he did not step up on it. He wanted to keep everything the same this election. He made that decision that
he
had to
see it. So he was relying on the staff that was already there.
Yes. And the process from before, which we had issues with, was why he was put into that position to start with.
And I get the fact that he might have, you know, not go in there and just redo everything in light of the time frames and stuff. But I think we're in the same position that we're in across the country. We've got to start firing these people.
Yep. And in the face of crisis, instead of simplifying things, like, for instance, going to hand counting would be a lot simpler, they made the system more complex. So they brought in a secondary system, a run-back duplication system, to duplicate these ballots. So now the ballots go from the back cave into the limbo room where the run-back machine is. They get duplicated. Then they go into the break room where they do a QC check on them. If they fail the QC check, they go back into the limbo room and then potentially back into the bat cave to be rescanned once they have a duplicated ballot. But it's so fraught with errors, the system that they brought in. It's more complex and it's more error prone. And I think we've heard from Patrick Jones. I've seen it myself as well. These machines are not accurately picking out the voter's intention and duplicating them onto the other ballot. It has to be the actual operator sitting there to catch these errors.
Right.
Well, and I think that's part of the big reason that all these local Marxist morons have been going after Jones. It's demonize anybody who wants to fix it to the point where it's going to work legitimately.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is, I think, complex by design, unfortunately. And we need to go to a simplified system, one where they have complete transparency and they can't hide anything. Right now, our group is sitting there in front of the tabulation machines and watching them as they go through, because they have threatened they will not share any audit logs with us from this point forward. The audit logs tell you who did what when. Anytime a button is pressed, it makes a record. It's a new line.
Yeah, isn't that public record and information that should be accessed by anyone?
Yes, and it has been in the past. It was released to me in the March primary as record.
Who made that decision?
The Secretary of State has changed things and said we can no longer release those audit logs.
So everything they do is so that it's easier to cheat.
Yes, exactly. And less apparent, less transparent, less able for the ordinary citizens to look over their work.
Right. But could the local ROV go, no, we'll go ahead and release them?
Certainly, he could do that, but he has vowed that he will not be releasing them. Another thing he's also not released is the logic and accuracy test results. So, as you may or may not know, hand counting is the gold standard by which they test whether or not the machines are accurate. So they did a hand count. They refused to tell us the batch number or the number of ballots per batch, but they said, don't worry, you'll get that after the logic and accuracy testing. We attend that, and they said, everything's done. I say, when will you give me the report? They said, well, we'll give it to you later. They didn't give it to me, so I put in a public records request, and they said, we're not giving that to you until after January 6th. So this
after
is the test.
After it's already all certified and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, this is the test that says whether or not these machines are accurate, and they're not allowing the public to view this. They're blocking us. And I even asked Thomas Toller during a press conference. I was there as press asking questions, and I said, why have you blocked the public from being able to view this document? He said, this is not the appropriate time to look at the logic and accuracy test.
I think that's exactly the opposite of reality.
Exactly,
it is the appropriate time before.
That is why. Yeah, exactly. The only time that
before
we can.
Before it gets certified.
We saw this in 2020 exactly. Once it was certified, they said there's nothing we could do about it. The Supreme Court wouldn't even take the case because
that was the big liberal thing. Yeah. Oh, there's no evidence. No, none of the cases got in because they said they didn't have any standing and they never examined the evidence.
Yep, and so that's their strategy, to stall, delay, and block, and it's not going to work. It's if there's ever a time to see those results, it's now. We're having issues. There's a crisis at hand. The way that Thomas Toller is handling this is not correct. He's trying to claim that this is the most accurate election ever. It's false.
How can you, to start with the ballots, the overspray, how can you say it's going to be accurate?
Just the fact that he said that. disturbs me, because we've been getting gaslit and you know, given snow jobs for so long that now we don't trust any of these guys at all, period.
Yeah. Yep. And I would just like to comment, too, on the election system. So the Secretary of State sets the standards for which election systems, which is the same as a voting machine, can be certified by the state. And basically, if you look at California Election Code 19101, Part B, and Section 1, the machine and its software shall be suitable for the purpose for which it is intended. That's the very first part of the code. So instead of simplifying, when our machines are not functioning as they are intended to function, things are getting more complex, and they're bringing in more machines to deal with the problem. So this is another part of the voting system standards by the Secretary of State, is it tells you exactly what paper goes with what machine device. So HART has what's called a technical data sheet, tells you the type of paper that you need to use, the cardstock, the grain, and the orientation in which it needs to be placed in the printer. These things are vital, and it's part of the certification of the entire system. So you have to follow all of those things in order to be certified, and likewise, you have to follow all the printing instructions as given in the certification in order to have a system that can be certifiable. So
it's certifiable, all right.
Yeah.
It seems that, like, all you have to do is, like, hand count.
Certifiably
look,
insane.
It's insane, because hand count, yeah. Yes, no. Yeah, I mean, so I guess
we have a caller on the line. We actually have Supervisor Mr. Jones. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. And good morning, Laura. Thank you for all the hard work that you've done down there. You know, I went down there, you know, 5, 6, 7 times taking a look at the duplication process and noting errors consistently. And then recently I was informed that under the direction of ROV Toller that he had called the Department of Justice here to Shasta County Elections Department and went to the homes of certain individuals from the election department asking questions about Supervisor Jones and Supervisor Cry as we were simply merely observing the process. And so Mr. Toller called California Department of Justice on us for merely observing the process. And can't tell you how disappointed I am in that. We're just trying to establish, you know, that our systems are fair and working. And for the public, keep in mind that the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, we oversee the elections department, and only to have the DOJ called on us. I find it just astonishing.
Well, this sounds like the same old Modi intimidation tactics of sending guys out to visit the recall guys. That's what it sounds like, is that it's about intimidating people. You know, or looking for evidence to try to, you know, paint you with some kind of a blast.
Yeah, but if they're going to look at them, why don't they look at the whole system? You know, they should have been looking at what was going on in the whole ROV office.
So based on what I've seen and what Laura's seen and so many of the others, I'm going to have a pretty big announcement on December 10th. And so stay tuned for the Board of Supervisors. That's going to be an important meeting to take a look at.
Maybe we can get a leak before then.
maybe not.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
all right,
your
thanks
work.
For calling Thank in. You. We appreciate you, Patrick. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to call the DOJ, why don't they look at the whole system? And, you know, if there's a problem with one part of it, why wouldn't you be investigating the whole system?
Yeah, I agree. And actually, on the agenda last week at the board meeting, there were a couple items specifically for HART, InterCivic, and Runbeck to speak to, and they were actually on the agenda the week prior, but they said we couldn't make it that week, so please postpone it. So we postponed it a week,
and
they didn't show up. And so that tells me that these problems are serious. Runbeck and HART are very carefully guarding their words because their lawyers know how serious,
you know,
this situation is.
In the private sector, you're fired immediately, in my book. You know, you're hired, you have a contract, and then you won't show up to defend your part of the contract or clarify or whatever it is to do. You just don't. I mean, I think they should just cut the funds off immediately now. I mean, that's my
I agree.
Opinion.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, we do have a question from the chat to Laura to summarize the Huntington Beach court decision voter ID.
Right. So that was a case where the citizens voted their charter city to have voter ID in their elections. And the state retaliated. Bonta filed a suit against them, Rob Bonta, and he said, you know, that's illegal in California. You're not allowed to do that. Well, the judge sided in the favor of the citizens of Huntington Beach, and they said, nope, this is a charter county. They have every right to require voter ID in their elections.
Awesome.
So this is a victory not just for Huntington Beach, but for every county in California that's under this tyrannical control of the California state government, because we have local sovereignty. We need to utilize that local sovereignty. Mm-hmm. We have a charter county here. We also have, you know, potentially some supervisors that would be willing to write an ordinance that doesn't even have to go necessarily onto the charter. It could be done immediately. This is an emergency situation, quite honestly, and they need to respond with an emergency meeting, an emergency town hall, to actually rectify the situation, put in some solutions. One solution they could do easily right now that's completely compliant with California state law and AB 969 is to do a 100% manual audit by hand count. So there's no laws against auditing the results of your election by hand.
That's interesting.
So we need to start mandating hand counts right after the elections anyway, just to make sure that they're correct.
Yeah, and to mandate that they're done fairly and accurately as well, because when I was considering a recount, they were proposing a hand count method that was so convoluted and so fraught with errors that I wouldn't even trust necessarily the results of their hand count. They wanted to have a ballot library where you could check out ballots and take them, you check out one batch at a time, take it downstairs. If it doesn't match what the computer said was the correct answer, they bring it back upstairs to the ballot library, and then they look at it, you know, fix it, do whatever they have to do to make it match the machine, send it back down to be hand counted again. And again, you're talking about a system that's not transparent.
That's way different than when we did a hand count on Gary Cadd's election.
You know what this tells me is that it's kind of, I don't know who said it, I think it was Shakespeare, that they doth protest too much.
Yeah.
And it, what that makes you think is that if they want to change everything, they want to obscure everything, they want to make it so it's more difficult, more convoluted, more complicated, all that tells you is that they're hiding something.
Yeah. There was no problem with the hand count when we did it for Gary Cadd for city council.
Well, we were off by two. We went from 11 to 9.
Right. But what I mean, the process, everybody, that because there was two people from their side and two people from our side, and there was other people present, I think two more. Yeah. So there were six, and nobody had a problem with what the count was. If you question something and you looked at it, and we go, okay, yeah, that's what that's supposed to be. Yeah,
and that's the way it should be. We should have somebody from both sides to actually visually look at the ballot and decide the intent of the voter and come to an agreement on each ballot. What they're doing now in their hand counting process is they're using these temporary workers who are a lot of times a little older, a little more fatigued. They unilaterally are making the decisions of the intent of the voter on each ballot. Not something where you can see behind them what they're deciding. They just put it in a box, and then at the end they count the ballots in that box. But you can't actually see the intention of the voter each time the decision is made.
Okay,
well, be so simple to be able to just turn around and have a hand count. You put it into a machine that registers it on a blockchain, and then you, the voter, can end up using that same QR code at the very top to be able to actually see that your vote was counted correctly.
That's true. And with that, we do need to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner. Don't just watch the big game, be there.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our $50,000 Gridiron Glory Swipe to Win draw.
You and a friend could win the trip of a lifetime to witness the big game at Caesar Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Swipe your River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes.
Weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m.
Don't miss the final drawing on December 26th.
For complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Yeah, I don't think it
isn't
is.
That their job?
Was, yeah, that was. Natasha Owens, Nick Natoli, Trump won.
I guess we're back.
And we are back.
With all kinds of stuff going on.
Sovereign Minds. And we are here with our guest, Laura Hobbs, who is explaining, Dr. Laura Hobbs, that is explaining the issues that we're seeing right now with our elections.
But we do have a caller on the line, so we will go to the caller. We've got Stones on the line. Good morning.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Thank you, Laura, and the very few, and the few handful of people that have spent countless, tireless hours at the registrar's office. I mean, my gosh, let's put them in an Eveready battery commercial. They just keep going and going and going. I mean, I really wish I had more time to help them, but I just work too much, unfortunately. But hey, yeah, election items, printing errors. So the local board of supervisors, unfortunately, have been given a lot of good ideas in the last 12 to 18 months to take local control of our elections. And unfortunately, I don't know if they were not strong enough to face the state attorney general, the secretary of state. They're afraid of a lawsuit. I don't know. But they haven't done it. And maybe that'll change soon, hopefully, but unfortunately it's too late for this current election cycle. Everything is still electronically tabulated, proprietary software. So you can see it in the results, by the way, for some of these local races. Are you kidding me? Somebody with admitted multiple personalities is winning in a school board race?
Yeah,
are
that's
you
scary.
Kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Some of these results are good. The city council, Dr. Danuka, Mr. Latow, right? The voters are done with establishment rhinos, status quo. And, it's very unfortunate that we have not put things in place. However, let's start this right now. You have to contact the Board of Supervisors. You have to say, I want this. And here's the idea. Let's do two things at the same time. Let's start our own process for our own ballot printing press right here in Shasta County. That'll take a while. And at the same time, let's do RFPs, Runbeck, bye-bye Runbeck. I saw somewhere their contract's up at the end of the year. The bye-bye Runbeck, let's find a local ballot printer for the state and federal and possibly local races. We need to have more than one plan in place. The state of California, when they find out Shasta County wants to print their own ballots, trust me, they will drag their feet, and so we have to have a plan to be, and that would be getting a local printer or two on the hook for a potential contract. So, and yes, the ordinances, the Board of Supervisors can do all this without the registrar's permission. Exactly. And, of course, the board knows that. And unfortunately, they failed to put local election ordinances in place. So let's start doing that. Can we please, maybe, for the next election cycle, which is at least 15 months away, possibly 18. So, anyway, thank you again, Laura, and thank you, everybody, for covering these topics.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Yeah, we have to say thank you to all the people down there doing the hard work at the ROV because some of us aren't able to attend.
Well, you know, they've elongated the whole election process, like I said, 30 days before, 30 days after. So almost nobody could attend and see it from start to finish. Yeah.
One day you go in, everybody votes, and it's over by 8 o'clock that
night. Election month.
Yep. And nevertheless, we did have one individual who took one whole week of holiday off from his work to be there and to volunteer.
Wow.
Yeah, with, you know, so.
That's awesome.
We have dedicated patriots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do.
We have to take our hats off to them because they've done a lot of hard work in there in that office, hours upon hours of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work, I know. I mean, it's tough.
It's sad, though, that it has to be that way.
Well, the problem.
But it doesn't have to be that way at all with what's going on.
The real deal is that this is an experiment in self-governance, and we all have to participate on every level whenever we can to make it work. So right. I guess we got to call it.
We do. We have Jackie.
La Barbera.
I couldn't see all of it. All right. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for covering this.
Sure.
You know, I just want to say, is there an echo?
No, you're good.
We can hear you just fine.
I just want to say, you know, someone gave public comment at one of the meetings last week at Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and he said, you know, you guys won. Why don't you drop all this stuff? You won. And I think it's very indicative of, you know, this attitude of selfishness. It's not about who wins. It's about what's right.
Mm-hmm.
As a candidate, won my election 2 years ago, and I'm winning by a healthy margin in this election right now. That doesn't stop me from spending 43 hours for this election cycle since November 5th at the ROV, tracking tabulation data and just trying to understand what's going on. And this isn't the first election that I've done it. I've done it the last 4 years. I've worked precincts. I've done the precinct training. I've been poll observing. I've been in the ROV, and I am still not comfortable. And I've won my last two elections, and I'm still not comfortable.
Well, we won, but now let's fix it, not just go along with the status quo, because now we're in power, we just go along anyway.
But at the local level, we don't even know who's won or what's going on at the local level now, which is wrong.
My point is, it's not a matter of who won, it's a matter of let's fix the system so it works for everyone.
Yeah, make it
it's a matter of what's right.
It fair, make it transparent for everyone to see, and the fact that... You know, Jackie and I have spent a lot of time together in the ROV office. We still don't totally understand what's going on there, and that is not correct.
Right.
It should be so simple and so obvious that even, you know, someone who's not had as much experience as her or I could still understand it.
Right. They don't come out and say, okay, today this is what the process is, and this is what we're doing, and this goes here, that goes there. They're not forthcoming.
There's no hand-holding whatsoever, and when you ask questions, you are often met with, you know, defensive answers and, you know, I don't have time now. I can't answer that. I don't know the answer.
Passive-aggressive is what it sounds like.
Wow.
Yeah, very passive-aggressive. And one thing I wanted to go back to a little bit, what Patrick Jones was saying, was that Thomas Toller, he called the DOJ on the observers, not just the Board of Supervisors, all the observers. And we are sitting there working long, hard hours, but yet we're being villainized as people who want to obstruct and intimidate.
It's an intimidation. We got Jackie. We don't want to just leave her hanging on the line. So have you got something going here, Jackie?
No, but I will echo that sentiment. You know, the people in there, they are working hard. Everyone's working hard. I get all that. But that attitude that we are there to impede or to distract or to obstruct in some way, it is just absolutely false. Absolutely false. I should not be made to feel like that in an office that I am paying to sustain.
Right. And Jackie,
and
tell them about the bathroom.
Supervisors could do more. The bathroom?
Yeah, tell them about that.
Having to be escorted outside in the rain to a bathroom with no soap, barely working water, as an observer is humiliating.
Toilets not flushing.
Toilets not flushing. you know, spending those hours there doing that, being kind, trying my best to be out of the way, to just be seen and not heard, just so that I could feel comfortable with something that I am funding. And then, you know, not drinking water so I don't have to bother someone to ask to go to a bathroom that I don't even want to use. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Election night, we were there till 7 a.m. We were there till 7 a.m. on election night. Sorry, go ahead, Jackie.
They told us on election night that they were going to wrap up. It was about 2 a.m., so we started to collect all of our stuff, knowing in the past, this has happened before, but thinking, okay, maybe they really are done. Started to collect all of our stuff and leave, and they started counting again and didn't stop until 7 a.m. that next day. And I noticed something right away. It, you know, as we're watching these, as they're tabulating and we're watching them come up, they're marked as election day voting or vote by mail. And so, you know, as the precincts are dropped off and we start tabulating election day voting, I noticed it seemed to go way too fast. It didn't make sense. How are we already back on vote by mail when by law we're supposed to finish counting the election day voting? So I'm not surprised that this A card, D card thing came up. It makes sense now in retrospect, but being there, even seeing it happening and wanting to raise an alarm, you can't.
Mm-hmm. So. And they've changed the laws, unfortunately, in California, where you don't have to prove that, as an election worker, you don't have to prove that the intention of the observer was to intimidate you. All you have to prove is that you felt intimidated. So it didn't matter really what the intent of the observer was. They changed the laws. They made civil codes that they can now bring you to court over. Just if that election worker feels intimidated, no matter what you did, even if you
didn't do anything
at all.
Well, again, it goes to everybody being divided into categories and, you know, dividing the government workers against the public, whether it's right, left, black, white, take your pick. That seems to be what they do best, is divide everybody. We should all be on the same page with these elections, whether you're working for the government or whether you're an observer. I mean, we should all be interested in this being a right and wrong
a
issue.
True election.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we've lost that, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a big setback. I'm hoping that we, our Board of Supervisors, learns from it, and I'm hoping we're not in the same situation 15, 18 months from now.
Who hires and fires everybody at the ROV's office? Just the ROV?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Thomas Toller has that authority right now. However, with the CTCL scandal, which I know you guys have talked a little bit about
yeah.
here.
Zuckerbucks.
The Zuckerbucks, yeah. So there were people who went against the board's will, and they changed that contract. Mm-hmm. Those people, in my opinion, should be fired. They were insubordinate to the board. So if Thomas Toller doesn't take that authority to fire them, I feel that the board themselves should have that authority and utilize it, because
the only thing you can do right now is cut the budget then, I guess. Is that how it works?
I'm not sure exactly, but if nothing else, they should make local ordinances that say if anybody is insubordinate, that will result in immediate termination, mm-hmm. period. And then it's part of county policy or county ordinances, and it can be utilized in cases like this.
Well, yeah, and it was proving that some of them that are still in the office had committed the wrongdoing on the letter, and nothing's happened
at all.
They just looked the other way on it.
That's the problem with government in general. That's why Trump's the best man in history for coming in and saying you're fired, because that's what really needs to happen at every level of government now. Once you get entrenched in there, there's no getting rid of you. It doesn't matter whether you're doing a good job or not, or mm-hmm. you just, you know, the old politic thing, you know, mm-hmm. the many and the blood-sucking right. insects, you know. So mm-hmm. I think yep. that's what we're talking about.
And this is completely Absolutely. Related to the way that the observers are being treated right now, because CTCL and CEIR, this year, they're both funded by David Becker, a far left-leaning extremist. And the whole theme of their summit last year was villainizing the election observers, They called them J6ers, insurrectionists. And person after person, these were Secretary of States getting up and speaking, saying, I have PTSD because the election observers were so horrible to me. And so this is a nationwide narrative that's finding its way down here into Shasta County and affecting the ordinary citizens like I and Jackie that just want to observe the election.
So is there...
I just want to understand... And I think you know, I'm really hoping and I'm praying that certain Board of Supervisors right now aren't, you know, are concentrating more on this and righting the wrongs going forward. I know it's easier, you know, not to, but hopefully they're not, you know, focused at all on future runs or future campaigns and are just going to do what's right now while they're in there.
Yeah.
I guess
is there videotaping down at the ROV office while you guys are observing? Is there video that people can watch and see what's going on?
No live streaming.
No live streaming.
They do have cameras that you can request to see, you know, at a later date.
Do any of the cameras have meaningful observation?
Right. No, none of them have meaningful observation. Yeah, you can
interesting.
So we have another caller, Jackie. Do you have anything else to add, and then we can move on?
No, thank you. Please move on. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. And before we get to our caller, I want to let people know at the Board of Supervisors, they did vote to release the emails.
Yes.
Of the correspondence in regards to the Zuckerberg stuff that we're talking about.
All I know is Zuckerberg sucks.
In more ways than one. And I'm sorry, I can't see what the name
is. Amarel.
Are you there? Good morning.
I am. I'm here.
What can we do for you?
I wanted to comment on those Zuckerbucks. I feel that we, the people, have been disenfranchised by the people that circumvented the board. Mm-hmm. We work hard to get these people elected. We want to be represented by these people. I mean, we have fundraisers. We put signs in our yard. We do all this work. The supervisors do a lot of work to get elected, and these people saw fit to just give that the middle finger and do what they wanted to do. I mean, that's one of their words, this disenfranchised. So I'm going to throw the left back at the left.
Totally agree, yeah.
Well, it's...
Consequences. They need to have consequences handed down to them. This sort of thing will never stop if there aren't consequences. I feel we, the people, should be able to file a class action lawsuit against them, if nothing else. And they've done it against Giuliani and other people. Why can't we do it against these people?
I think retribution is coming, and it's on the way. I firmly believe that. If it doesn't happen, then we have to do more to implement justice and I don't know, law. I mean,
and that also brings me to a really important thing that not a lot of people are aware of right now. So JFK has launched an online forum to crowdsource 4,000 Trump administration nominees. And so... this is the moment right now for us to also help him pick his cabinet and us to be able to do this. So, like, right now you have Brandon Herrera that is the top lead for the ATF, and he basically is saying he'll go in there and abolish that.
That's what I'm hearing pretty much across the board from the cabinet. Is they got to go in there and they know they got to start firing people.
Nominees for the People is the website, and then there's the Kennedy's Initiative to Make America Healthy Again.
Also, it's a good time to look in our own backyard to start doing recalling of what needs to be done and cleaning up our own community. We have to start at the local level.
Well, we might have to do another recall. I think we need to start with our district attorney.
I agree. I totally agree with that. We have to start somewhere, but we've got it. I think the water is right for us to start taking back our community.
Absolutely. And the Huntington Beach judgment there was case in point. You know, we can do the same thing here that they did in Huntington Beach. There's no reason why we can't.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Have you got anything to add there? I guess it's MRL caller.
our ROV was put in by the board. Does he need to be recalled? How can we get rid of this ROV? It's worse than it ever has been down there. I mean, those people are all militant towards us. It's awful to go down there and observe. I mean, my wife and I hate to do it. It's like I'd rather have a root canal.
I don't think that.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
I don't think there's a remedy at this point because I think he's been appointed.
Appointed
till the next election. I don't know. Is there?
I think we could recall him.
Maybe you can.
Any elected official, though he was appointed, he could still be recalled.
Maybe you lump him in with the other recall, and we get two signatures all at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Cool. Yep.
That's all I got. Thank you, Laura, for all you're doing. You're amazing.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Well, we got about 8 minutes left.
Oh, we do have another caller. We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori. Lori.
Are you there, Lori?
Which Lori do we have?
Yes.
I don't think we have a Lori.
Lori.
Real quick. Yep, I have to chime in. I would just also add to the conversation here that Joanna Francisca took a trip to Nevada County. I have yet to hear about the details, her summary, why she had to physically go there, the fee, the money it's going to cost. And the other thing is the radio show Shasta Unmasked, Tuesday the 12th from 6 to 7 on this radio station, had what I call and label a hit piece. And that includes your guest, Dr. Hobbs, Patrick, Kevin Cry. I mentioned in the beginning with a completely outlandish lie about Kathy Allen, how she abused and treated me last November. That's on video 5 minutes. I have it for anyone that ever wants it. So, yeah, these people are trying to sue our county, and I mentioned at the board meeting during public comment that they are doing a setup just like you were sharing. When somebody says, I think I feel upset, anxious, stressed, maybe some PTSD, and then they use these things called protected class. So if you can say you're an elderly person, or you're handicapped, ADA, or you're LGBTQ, whatever, and you're this and that and this and that. The oddity of mentioning it in the News Cafe online thing, it's every sign is there that the county needs to start paying attention.
These guys aren't going to go away quietly. My suggestion to them is to buy a service dog and grow up.
And a pack of color crayons and some hot chocolate and go find your own safe space and try to get a job. Try to get a job when you've been a jerk all this time publicly. I think a lot of businesses might look you up and see what your social media is all about and your conduct, behavior, and immaturity. Yeah, you're going to have a real hard time.
What happens if they start cutting off government aid to some of these people?
Holy Lord. And that's why they think suing is going to be their answer with their pocket little attorney there who's already got her own issues with the scooter and being impaired. So I'll leave it at that.
All right, thanks, Lori. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you guys.
Right, well, you heard about a year ago how they were complaining because the unions, they weren't making enough money and we can't get anywhere and we're so broke.
I want everybody to be able to make a living, but I don't want them to be handed a living. I want them to earn a living. And
I don't want my money to pay for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have another question, another caller. She just wanted me to ask. So she was very confused. Why are they even having to look at the intent of the voter? Could you clarify that?
So the way that you tabulate votes is you do it ballot by ballot. So each ballot, you look at the marking on the ballot to see did they intend to vote for President Trump or did they intend to vote for Kamala? So that's the reason why you have to look at the intention.
It and could be
because
that they
the
haven't
machines aren't reading it correctly. Is that right?
Yes. In the case of the Runbeck duplication system, you're basically sitting there adjudicating because you have to look at the screen and try to determine what the intent of the voter is.
An example would be they didn't fill in the whole box with the colored pen like they're supposed to. They just checked it.
Yeah. Or they marked one and then X'd it out and then filled in another box.
Yeah, there are things like that that are easy for humans to understand but really difficult for computers to understand.
Right, so that's why you have to verify.
That answers the question, I think. We got about 4 minutes left here. Anything we want to get out before we find we're out of time?
What else you want to talk about?
You got a ton of stuff. Yeah, she's got notes everywhere.
Yeah, so she's got a lot of different stuff. So,
I think that we just really need to push forward. We know what's clear as far as the best path forward, and that's hand counting for this county. And 100% manual hand count audit is completely doable. We've had input.
And legal.
Yes, we've had advice from election lawyers, experts in their field who have said this is legal to do in the state of California. So there's no reason why not to. We just really need the board to work and do represent the people well, because at this point I think it's fairly clear what the will of the people is as far as our elections and how we want them done. We just need our representatives to respond to that.
And they don't have to certify the election.
That's right. They don't
have to. The board of supervisors do not have to certify it.
They do not have to, and honestly, I don't know if they can legally because the voting system standards are not being met.
What happens if they don't certify it?
That is a good question. I don't actually know the answer.
I'm not quite sure.
That would be the reason would certify it.
Because it closes
uncharted territory.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe we'll have an answer next week on that one.
Well,
we got like 45 seconds.
There you go.
And I want to thank you for coming in and getting a hold of me. And anytime you have more information in regards to this, let me know, please.
Maybe we get you on the podcast, too. That's Mountaintop Media. We're doing one tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that.
Okay. I'd be glad to. Thank you for having me on.
Very good. Yeah. And I guess we're at the end here. They took the clock away.
Are.
What's up?
That means we're at the end. We're done. We're done.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Have a great week, everybody.
Don't compare it with the government, and all gun control is racist. See y'all next week.
All right, have a good one.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.